Dr. Rock's radio show. Every Thursday night at 9 on raconteursnews.com. We go to 11.
Well, good evening and a very warm welcome, one and all, to Dr. Rock's radio show here on raconteursnews.com for the very last time. Oh, because we're over on autonomousmedia.net, so anybody who's not signed up to the new chat room, this is our last night in both places, and most of the other people are over here. It's absolutely cracking, lovely decor, and it's all going on pretty much as usual, so bloody 10 out of 10 to all the people who've done all the work to put that together. It looks absolutely great, folks. Well, tonight I'm joined by a good friend of mine, Paul Cotty, who's and we're going to hopefully be having a quick chat, well, a fairly detailed chat about contracts and why we perhaps might be interested in them. So, Paul, can you still hear me, mate?
I can do, yeah. How's things, Richard Doc? Greetings to everybody in there in chat. I can't see them yet. And come here, congratulations on your new setup here.
Yeah, yeah, it's looking like a good place to work from, isn't it? There's certainly plenty of nooks and corners and interesting places to go exploring.
That's for sure. I'm trying to get into chat and that's enough.
Yes, it can always be a bit difficult to get in there the first time. I think you're getting pretty close though, aren't you? You've got yourself registered. You've handed yourself over to us, so it can't be long before they open the door for you.
I'm sure we get in there somehow. Anyway, come here, look. Getting into chat rooms and computers wouldn't be my strong point anyway. I'd have more fun with other things in life.
I think that I'm with you all the way there, although I've been around pretty much since computers were invented and became over time quite a sophisticated user of them. They changed so quickly that I find myself a bit frustrated. And let's face it, in a way, there's easier and more effective places to be putting our effort, I think, isn't there, really?
Absolutely. But look, computers are great for getting the information out there these days. They can reach so many people so quick, you know, for getting information out. It's great in that sense.
I think it's completely invaluable, that bit of things, because it seems to me that one of the things that I've definitely seen happening over the last 5 years is because as you know, I get around a fair bit. I keep meeting these really amazing networks of people who are doing fantastic jobs, you know, either straw bale building or cob oven building or working in the courts. And one of the things that seems to me to be happening now finally with the internet is that these networks of experienced people are finding ways to get in touch with each other, which I think is very exciting indeed.
Oh, definitely. It's a great way for linking all the people that's actually being active, isn't it? Because media cuts, mainstream media cuts off anybody that's out there being active and exposing the system, working out the trickery and giving solutions and so forth, isn't it? So it's the only output we really have is the media as such.
I think I'd have gone pretty crazy without it over the years, because the mainstream media just is no longer covering interesting stuff, and also I think it's a real distraction to the way one's mind works, whereas certainly the internet is providing me with a lot of not only stimulating stuff, but the stuff that's actually very useful too.
Yeah, well, it was only due to the internet, how would I say, it has me on the journey, the path, whatever some might call it, for the understanding I have of the system today and what I do, what I've learned along the way. It's basically down to the internet that got me into that. And then I went back to some old-fashioned books. Wouldn't be the greatest of readers, but I went back to some old-fashioned books to verify a lot of what I was learning.
I think that's a good key, isn't it, is that that we can come across clues in all sorts of places, including on the internet. But it is funny that I find myself going back to books as well. It's quite hard to find the stuff you really need to read on the web in any detail, do you think?
Definitely. The web, as well as we know, look, we don't have control of the web. And I think that's the main part. Yes, we can get shows, we can get broadcasts and get information out there. But the system controls the web at the end of the day. And when you go looking for certain things within the web these days, you can see where it was being manipulated. I think if one went even into Wikipedia 5 or 10 years ago and certain words or certain things, if they went into now, you'd see a different definition.
Yes, I think you're exactly right, which is, of course, exactly what they've been doing to the law dictionaries as well. I think that's another important point as well, is that I think that if you and I were doing our work entirely on the internet and not meeting up with people actually in physical space, we wouldn't be doing so well either, would we?
I absolutely don't know, Camille. Look, the best way, I think, is it's great learning stuff on the internet, but it's only when we start having open talks with open-minded people amongst ourselves, just like we're having now, that's when you start discovering the nitty-gritty things, and you can look at ways of seeing what the system is about and what we can do to manage our existence better.
So what was it that first struck you, Cotty? What was it that first made you actually want to take action?
Well, look, any of you that know me, I am honest and I'm blunt. I'm going to say it the exact way it is. A few years ago, going back a number of years ago, the so-called Gala Shia corner over here busted in my house. I woke up looking down my stairs at guns.
Wow, that must have been a hell of a shock, wasn't it? Or is it kind of par for the course?
It was more than a hell of a shock, because I've never had that before. Not saying the guards have never come to my house before. They did 14, 15 years previous to that. They'd come, they'd knock the door and stuff like that. I'd have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. I'd drink coffee. I'd have a cup of coffee if they wanted to come in the house back then. You know, that sort of way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be impotent and I wouldn't be in their face and all that kind of stuff. But when that happened, and my daughter and her friends was here at the time, I went into... I knew it wasn't right. That I knew. And I asked them an important question. To me, it was a very important question. I used to drink years ago. And I put myself in the position, if I had been drinking that night and I heard a bang that hour of the morning, I would have got up and grabbed the nearest thing to me. Thought somebody was breaking into my dwelling. Any reasonable man or woman would do that. So I turned around and I said to them, because I wasn't really drinking, that's why I put myself in that position, and I turned around and said to them, if I had to come round the corner with something in my hand, would you shot me? And he went to me, would you have a gun in your hand? I says, no, what if I had the feckin' lamp, the side lamp off me the bed, grab the first thing that's there, you know? They never answered me.
Well, there's plenty of unfortunate precedents, which I think suggest what would have happened. I do remember being struck, it must be many years ago now, about a guy that was shot in London because he was carrying something like a table leg in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
So I can imagine what would happen. What were they doing coming through your door with guns, mate?
Well, that's what I went checking up then, and... I don't know what, I started learning about warrants. I went checking some things about warrants over here. I seen stuff on the internet, I seen stuff about, there was one fella in particular, Ben Gilroy, that was all over the internet at the time. And I wrote a little message to Ben, so I did. I sort of knew Ben's name from years ago, and I knew him from out clubbing, or my brother knew him from out clubbing and stuff. Ben used to be a clubber as well back in the day. But for some reason, I don't know Ben. Yeah, but a nice man at that. So I wrote him a little letter and asked him, you know, a little bit about the warrants, because I hadn't got a great understanding and reading and stuff like that. And he wrote back and says something about look for what he might have or might not have within it. So I went along checking different types of warrants then, and I came across these warrants called non-knock warrants, and where they can just come in your door and all this kind of stuff. But even at that, they have to give you 10 seconds.
And what's it called?
A non-knock warrant.
A non-knock warrant.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you know what I'm saying? A non-knock warrant, and next, the door comes.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, at the end of the day, I was doing checking up like that, and I'd done some, let me say, nearly freeman stuff, so I did. What I actually done, because... the guards, when they came that time and they took me off and that, and they held me for a day or so, they didn't say they were guards or anything like that at the time. After a week or two, when I checked up a few warrants and a few bits and pieces, what I done, I went to the guard station, over here. And I went in and I says, I wanted to report an attempt on me life and I want on record. This has to be recorded. And the woman says, could you tell me what it's about? I says, yes, when I'm under record, because this is a life-threatening situation for me. Mm. So they brought me in and they put on the recorder machine and I told them all about fellas coming in dressed in black, strangers, and how I was kidnapped. And they kept saying, Paul, you're talking about guards here. And I says, well, unless yous were there or yous know these, who do you hell? Do you know what I mean? Because nobody said they were guards to me, and if they were guards, I'd be in here telling you they were guards.
Yeah.
And even at that end, they were so, what did he look like? And they were trying to give recognition as a guard and other stuff. But anyway, I made my record and made it a claim of being kidnapped by gunpoint by men dressed in black, strangers. But they were getting really cheeky with me, so anyway. And I had, you know, like, it was a few years beforehand now, and I didn't know what I was learning along the way. They probably would have had me down the back cell punching the nose off me. But I was at a learning process at this time as well. So, it's all learning. It was at my learning point anyway, so it was.
Yeah.
I was going on about, right, the guards, these strangers took me at my bare feet and they put me in a van. They asked me what was there, was there anything on the van and this, that, the other. I said it was a van and that was it. All I noticed was, they put me in the back, in a dog box in the back of it. They brought me off the big building in the middle of nowhere. They says, oh, that was a guard station. They says, what did it look like? I said, well, it was a building. Where were you brought? And I was brought into rooms. What was the rooms look like? I says, well, like most rooms, they had square walls. You know, I wouldn't give any recognition to who where I was or what I was in. You know, no mention of guards.
You kind of slipped fairly naturally into using just the most simple words that were available to you then, which is a sound technique in itself, isn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't, it was just what I was doing at the time. I don't even know why. I had a rough idea why I was doing it. I didn't have a full understanding of giving recognition at that stage.
Yeah.
But a good idea of why I was doing what I was doing. Now, so I was giving them, I made all this so-called statement. I made sure they had it on record and all that. And a few times in between that, he was getting very angry and abrupt with one of them with me. And I told him that I feel very threatened that I come in here freely to make this and my life's, I feel like I've a threat with my life as it is without coming in here and you make me feel threat. So after a while, this young cop, he was flipping with me. So he was, because halfway into the joke, I said, well, at one stage, this woman unknown to me, I asked her who she was and she said she was a guard and he looked at me. So he did. And I said, but when I asked her to identify herself, that was the last I heard of that. So clearly she couldn't be a guard.
Correct, because she's obliged to identify herself in order to be
absolutely.
One. Yeah,
absolutely. And I said to them as well about, and if they were guards, they would have given me a warrant. They would have showed me a proper warrant that should have been signed, blue ink, by the judge and by the guard. And when I'm satisfied reading that, I'm not allowed to touch it, but when I'm satisfied reading it, I'm entitled to a copy of it, am I not? And he's looking at me. I said, so they can clearly not be guards, could they, if they didn't do that? he was fuming. At the end of the conversation, anyway, they asked me to sign the statement, and I says, I don't do sign in nature. I says, I'm quite happy with the words that's on there. I'm sure, I would know my own words to see or something like that, but I wouldn't be as good as what I would be saying today's. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I asked him, could I have a copy of it? And he flipped again and started abusing me. I says, don't turn that recorder off, yeah, for the insult you're throwing down. So you've just given me loads and he took it out and he goes, this is a fucking great waste of time, wasting air time and this, that and the other. So he went down. The other fellow was playing Mr. Goody Cop at this time. He turned around and goes to me, he said something beside him and this, that, and the other. I says, sorry, but I have to go. I feel quite threatened here. and I don't need to sign anything. It is all on record. I did ask him for a copy of it, which he refused me. He quite clearly cleared that. I did tell you it was being recorded enough times, and I took out my phone, showed him it, and ran out of there. I still have it on record today, the whole fucking thing.
That behaviour must have come as almost as much of a surprise to them as their breaking into your house must have come to you.
Absolutely. What I've done is, at the time, and that's what I'm saying now, bear with me with anybody listening to what I'm saying now here, as in a bit free, Manny, because you're walking into the lion's den and giving recognition to certain things. With that, a week or two later, now that was into the town of Drogheda. I live outside the town. There's a local barracks out this way. I rang and I made an appointment to see the sergeant. And he asked me what for, and I told him, well, it has to be face-to-face. I have to see you face-to-face to tell you something. So made an appointment. A friend of mine gave me a lift down. I never seen a spring in my step going into a barracks before. I seen plenty of springs in my step coming out. But I was bouncing in up the street laughing to myself, so I was. And then I went, and there's about six abrupt big police guards there, so there was, behind this little desk in the country here. Well, down at the coast. Little sergeant comes out, and he goes, oh, Paul, he goes, I've never met you. I've never met you before. I says, no, you have now. He says, what can I do for you? I says, oh, I've something to see you about. And he brings me into a little room. And I says, I want to see any warrant yous have for my dwelling. I say, all warrants that yous have and used for my dwelling. I want to see the originals. And he looked at me. And he thought, well, I said, yeah, I want to see the warrants. Any warrants you use for my dwelling, for coming and raiding my dwelling and stuff like that. He goes, oh, is that all you want? Is that all I can help you with? I says, that's to do for now. I says, one step at a time. I says, just like I come down to see you face to face. I says, I like to take things one step at a time. So that'll do, please. So he's going out and he calls some guard. It was the biggest abrupt guy that was standing out there. He couldn't get any bigger. And in he comes. You know, this is what they use for intimidation. You just have to remember I went in there on my own free will. So they use this as intimidation with everybody bringing a big guard in. And I was in my head, I was thinking to myself, no, it's not pure typical. Like, I'm in here on my own free will, and everything I've learned about intimidation, look at it, it's happening now. In comes the guard, and in he comes and goes, oh, hello, how are you, and what's your name? And I looked at him and said, sorry. He goes, what's your name? I says, thanks. No, he goes, oh, I only asked your name or something like that. I says, oh, thanks. And I left it at that. Demanded didn't know what to do with himself. He started twiddling with his fingers. He took out his book and started doing doodling on it. She had nothing to do 10 minutes before that, and all of a sudden, you see, because I didn't interact with him.
Yeah.
He was like a big bloody child there. And how he held in the laughter, I don't know.
Do you think that that shows that these people do know that this game is being played, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you best believe that. I can tell you for sure it is. Mm. As you're well aware of my case over in Trim when I was arrested. I could see why, like, the intimidation and everything they do. You see, what I was doing was, I was trying to pick up on everything they were doing as well as a learning curve, right?
Mm-hmm. A bit
more so than people was realising at the time. The sergeant down, he sat the other side. He read out this warrant thing that you had. I'm looking at the warrant. When he finished reading it out, I didn't say nothing about it. I went to take it. And he pulled it back real quick. I said, is that not for me? He goes, oh, no, I'm after reading it out. You see, this is what you do with most of the things as well. But I went, well, you did read it out. And first of all, it's not the original. Actually, before he went upstairs, when he called the other guard in, he goes, sit in with him a minute, like, go get him a copy or something. And I says, don't mind the copy, get the original. Made sure he knew again. So he came down, he read it out. I says, first of all, I says, that's not an original. That's a photocopy. I said, you're supposed to show me the original when I'm satisfied. Then I'll ask you for a photocopy. So go get the original. Any original that yous have or used. Now, they've been to my house once or twice throughout the years. But he comes down with one yoke. So I'm thinking, why one? where's these other ones? So he read, when I went to grab, he took it back, wasn't allowing that, and I went, right, there's something up here. So.
And was that the warrant for the guys turning up with guns, or was it a completely?
Yep. It was the one turning up with guns, you see.
Okay. What did it say that they were coming for?
Was it drugs or weapons? I think they said firearms.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what people have to remember, firearms in Ireland could come under a sword, a knife, air guns, because you're not even allowed air guns over here, or air pistols. And just as well, my young lad has airsoft guns. So just as well, them bloody yokes went here, they're M15 bloody yokes. But the boxes were here. But anyhow, look, I was sitting in the middle of what I called the lion's den. He wasn't allowed me to see the warrants. So I got a little cocky in myself, so I did an overexcited. I took out my phone and I says, right, do you want me to tell you do you want me to read you where I'm allowed CDs and all this? And he goes, no, I read them out to you. And I went, so next you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to record? He goes, no, you can't. So I got on, I switched on my record joke. Now I was thinking they're going to kick the shit at me at the same time, to be honest. So I was letting on, I had it on record, and I was going to him, right, this is being video recorded and live streamed now. And he looked at me, and I says, are you refusing to show me the original? And he goes, I'm out of reading it. I says, no. Are you refusing to show me the original? What you showed me is a photocopied with no signatures, no this, no that, no this. I started saying it to him. And I says, I've asked you to show me the original. Are you refusing me? Now, remember, this is being recorded and live streamed now. Now, I wasn't telling a lie because I was recording it in my brain and I was talking at the same time. So that's recording live stream, you see.
Yeah.
But with that, he jumped in.
Anyway, mate, they are allowed to lie to you.
Oh, well, I wasn't lying, you see. Never lie. No. I was recording and saying it back, so recording live stream.
Yeah.
With that, he jumped up and he ran out into the corridor, and he goes to the others, shh, shh. And I'm standing behind him at this stage with the phone in my hand. And the boys are standing up against the wall doing nothing. So he went to hushing me, you know, like the guy man, and hushing me towards the front. I went back in the room. I was pointing the camera. I was going, that's assault. She wouldn't come near me then. But in that anyway, look, at the end up hushing me to chatting me and sort of moving me towards the front door and all this kind of stuff. So I knew I was getting nowhere and had them on record. And I sort of wanted out of there myself. You know what I mean? I was taking a chance.
Yeah.
But when I got to the front door anyway, and he's standing at the front door, and I started going to him again. The whole time they were saying, are you refusing me to show me the original? This is record, live stream and everything else. And at the front door, I said, this is for the last time. And he goes, I'll send it to your solicitor. I says, I don't have a solicitor. Why do you think I'm here? You see, they're great at sending things to the solicitor, and the solicitors all play the game and the tricks and everything else.
Yeah.
You see? And they won't ask the questions that we ask. But I said, no, I'm here, and you're there, and that's why I'm here for the original. So you're refusing me. He shut the door on me.
That's amazing that you can have men with guns in your dwelling, and then you can go down there and it's just stonewalling. They don't actually have any techniques, methods, forms, anything for dealing with it. Why do you suppose that is?
Because it's all a fraudulent system. All they're using is A4 pieces of paper down off an old computer. Do you know what I mean? At this stage of the game, what I know about warrants and that comes from the court system over here, and I believe over the water with Jews, it should be the same thing. It should be embossed into the paper. A blind man has the right to know, has he not? If someone's in front of him with a warrant. So he should be able to run his fingers across it, and he should be able to feel whether it's embossed, crimped into the paper.
Yes.
And all they use is photocopies. And with that, if you look at them, you won't see any judge's signature on them, so they don't take liability. And then you'll also see it's signed by an appointee of the court, a clerk appointee or something. That's what's all in these warrants. All they are is A4 pieces of legalese paper that comes down off a computer. But they just need you to accept it.
That's it. If you behave as if it's valid, then it is valid.
But the thing is as well, you see, the most important thing, and I've been doing stuff over here to try and show people, or to point certain things. And I think that's very important now when you look at that aspect. You should be able to feel it, you see. A blind man has the right to know. If not, it's not fair if the blind hasn't got the right to know whether someone's accusing him to be in a court or if there's a man saying that he's a guard or a police in front of him. Otherwise, any stranger could be taking him off down into an alleyway, throw him in the shed and tell him he's in jail.
And have you ever seen any of these documents with a seal on them, or have you ever met anybody who has seen one of them?
Absolutely. I know what the seal should look like over here, and I have seen it, and I have it on a piece of paper here myself, so I have. And I'd put the two pictures up on the internet and show real, not real, so people might twig on.
Yeah.
And I believe over there in England it should be the same thing. It shouldn't be a photocopy. It should be back to, would it be the government, the royal seal, as it is.
Yeah.
And that should be embossed into the paper.
Well, I mean, as we mentioned when we were talking off air, when I was speaking with Guy Taylor on this point, and as you might know, he's got some training in the, what do you call it, the forensic examination of court and legal documents. He told me he didn't think in all his time looking at them that he'd actually ever seen a genuine one.
Absolutely, but the thing is as well, unless you see one or can come across someone with one or something like that and start putting a picture up on the net, nobody, if you've never seen the real thing, sure, the deception's always going to be real. Like if I give you a cheap packet of Amber Leaf tobacco and you've been smoking that for the last couple of years and then your friend shows up one day and smells and says, Jesus, where'd you get that tobacco? And you say, off me, and I tell you, I bought it down the market for €4. And he takes out a packet that he's out of buying in the shop. There's a hell of a difference.
Yeah.
And if you get an iPhone from China, the knockoffs, they look the same, but they ain't functioning the same either.
No, and the legal system's a knockoff.
That's exactly what it is. The legal system is a knockoff, and that's what I call the warrants now, cheap knockoffs, backstreet knockoffs. That's all they are. They're the poorest quality looking yokes that you're ever seeing. Seriously, they're that bad. And I started getting into this a bit more now. I got into it then. That's what I done then with getting involved with the guards. I'm going into the Lions then and doing stuff that way. Then I got involved in other stuff along the ways and another learning, and then I became doing a bit of hosting myself and on other sites and then getting onto a couple of shows with yourself and all that and listening. So I found me pat after a while, and I definitely wouldn't be running into the Lions Den again. But it was a great learning curve for me because...
So what would you do now, Cotty, if the same thing were to happen and these guys were to come piling through your door and do a replay? What would be your new approach with what you've learned?
Who are yous? That's the first thing I'd be asking. Who are yous?
Yeah.
And I just want one of them, any of them, to respond to me and say he's a guard. And with that, I'll contract him. You see, this is very important. I'll contract him as a guard. If not... If he doesn't say he's a guard, what he's doing is police work, police officer work. The same as over there in England, police officer. It should be police constable. Two different roles. So once he says he's a guard, I would just say, I accept, acknowledge you're out of your office, and I accept you're acting in that office now. Is this a civil or criminal matter? Which I know they can't answer. They can't answer properly because I've had answers. I have some guards in different occasions, which I'll explain anyway. But if they say it's a civil matter, I'll just turn around and say, have I documented and verified the actual contract I have with you? You see, I don't ask for the original anymore. I ask for the actual. You see, it's just learning along the way. So I'd ask him for the actual contract I have with him. And I'd forget about the rest of them in there. I couldn't give a shy. I'm dealing one-on-one with him. If the man with the paper or whoever says he's a guard, that's who I'd be dealing with. And when I do that, put them on it. Now, we know that you're not going to stop these lads doing whatever the fuck they do. Excuse the language there. Yeah. I'm not reposing. Most of the time, we can't stop what they're doing there and then. But can you follow it up afterwards? So basically, if they come in here and I was smoking a bloody big spliff and Jesus, if it had a plant beside me here and I was hugging and they come in and took the plant, they might take me away. I wouldn't contract and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't be given names and that. I'd ask him who they are. Once he says it's civil, I'd ask him to document to verify the actual contract I have with him.
Yeah.
And if he can't do that and has and keeps going beyond that point and asking other questions, I will stick to that the whole time. And even if they're putting handcuffs on me, I'm not going to ask the other men who they are, this, that, or the other. All I'd say there is, you are causing me duress. You are causing me duress. I wouldn't give them any recognition in any other way because they're strangers and that's the way I do it. They could take me in now. They wouldn't be getting no so-called contracts in any shape or form.
So what you're actually after doing at that moment is acquiring a target, isn't it, effectively, so that you can act after the event and the rest of it is not relevant, which makes it easy for you to concentrate on what you're doing.
Absolutely, because we're going into a load of things afterwards. If I don't stick to asking, like, have I got the actual contract with you? He told me it's civil, so I'm going to ask him for the actual contract. If I don't stick to that, I've accepted it, acquiesced, moved on.
Yeah, and then it's too late. And then it's too late, is it? Or can you?
You can catch up on things again, on different things. But the way I'd see it then is, look, they bring me into wherever. I come out of the building, and I'll come home, and I'll have to sit and try and construct my own statement of claim. And what I'll do is I'll write up my own statement of claim. So I will, strangers again, and how I asked a stranger who he was. He said he was a guard. I reminded him of his oath, I accepted he was acting at that office. I asked him if he was civil or criminal. He asked he told me he was civil. I asked him for the actual contract. And with that, afterwards, he replied in such and such a way, whatever way he wants to reply. And, The other strangers trespassed upon me, caused me duress and hardship, put me in shackles, took me against my will, most importantly, because it's not my will, so it wasn't. It was not my will to go with them. They took me against my will to a building unknown to me, unrecognisable to me, because I was never there before and I wouldn't be looking around anyway if you're in shock. And these strangers held me there for so many hours and so on. That's all they are strangers. And I go down and I'll make claim in against, I'll make my statement and it's a statement of claim. And I go down and I'll hand that to the guards. So once you give him that, bang. Ask him for, some number then, some number that you ask for to show that it's logged in then. But it's at the same time, even when I go down to hand it to him, anybody who comes to the desk to me, I always ask, you don't mind me asking, I'm in the guard station, but like before, who would yourself be? And they always show me the number and all that, and I want guard off him. I want him to say guard as well.
They have to.
I don't assume anymore, so I don't. I don't assume a man in a suit is a guard. Far from it. We all know in every country is about these, a lot of fellas going around dressed as policemen, guardmen, doing robberies, doing kidnappings, doing rapes.
And just like us, when they ask us who we are, they need us to speak our name, do they not? And it's the same with them. Pointing at a badge number doesn't do it. You've got to hear them speak it.
Absolutely. Look, because if he doesn't do that, a constable in England years ago, and a guard of corner over here, if you've done something wrong, he'd come up to you and he will say, I'm guard of Paul Cotty, 333 MH, draw the division, draw the barracks. You see? That's what you should be doing. And if they don't do that and they're coming up to you, they're trying to contract you. But if they've nothing to hide, he comes up and he does that and they arrest you there and then. The old constable and the same with the old guard over here. When they come up, they do that and they'd have a warrant and you're arrested there and then you're brought to a judge. If they don't come up to you and arrest you there and then and have the charges and bring you off, well then all they're doing is try to contract you legalese, bullshit and lies.
Great, that's a nice, that's a very good rule of thumb.
That's the way I look at the legalese, you see. Mm. Bullshit and lies. Legalese is made of bullshit and lies. They say assumptions, deception. And then they use police officers to fear us, to put us into fear accepting half of these contracts.
So basically, if they haven't got the evidence they need to come up and nick you outright, then they are trying to contract with you.
Absolutely. And in evidence, that means a claim from a man or a woman the other side.
And that, of course, is just one of the reasons why it's important that we understand the contracts Before we get into that, just as a matter of interest, if you'd been sitting there with your great big spliffy and your plant and all that kind of stuff, and a bunch of these guys had come in and you'd said to them, is it civil or criminal? I don't know what it's like over there, but over here they're extremely likely to answer criminal because they think it is. Oh, well, at least I believe that's why they answer that way.
Right.
What would be your answer to that?
No, as long as he says criminal and not criminal act, did mostly say criminal act, listen very carefully when they answer you. Because if he says criminal act, I will turn around and ask him, is that civil or criminal?
Excellent. I hadn't heard that distinction before. That's a good one.
Well, you see, I asked the question in the first place, is it civil or criminal? I didn't ask you, is it an act, a statute, a bylaw?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you that. I asked, simple, civil or criminal? Now, if he does give me that response as criminal, sound. Produce the man or woman that makes the claim till I make amends.
Which, of course, they can't do because you haven't done anything.
Well, unless I did do something. And if I did do something, fair enough, let them come forward and make a claim against them and we sort it out. Yeah. You know, I might have been drunk and forgot. It can happen us.
Yeah.
So, bring them, just in case it was a genuine claim, well, bring them forward and we make amends on this. You know, I might have been drunk sometime and forgot about it. You know?
Yeah. So, and you've either done something like that or you haven't, and they've either got the evidence or they haven't. But in nearly all, well, as far as the people I know, certainly in nearly all cases, in fact, as far as I think, in all cases, the people I know who've been involved with the forces of law and order, as they're euphemistically called, have none of them caused anybody any harm, loss and damage. And therefore, every single one of them has been engaging in contracts with the police.
Right. Well, here's one for you, right? If I was sitting at home here in my living room on an army tank with an army tank full of cocaine, snorting cocaine, smoking spliffs, with an M16 hanging out of me, women running around with cannabis plants hanging out of bloody ass, and we're partying, and the guards come in the door, or the police busted in the door, would that be criminal or civil?
It's quite interesting, you know, because I've been having a chat with Peter Kroll quite regularly recently, and he's telling me that there's been a major attempt over many years to actually define the difference between civil and criminal, and apparently this is a kind of wrangle that's going on in top judicial circles, which is bizarre, isn't it?
Jock, I'm going to give you out straight.
Give it to me, Paul.
When I got arrested last year in Trim, they tried to do me for contempt of court. I've the mock warrant here. That's what it is, the mock duplicate warrant and what they try to say and the bullshit that's in it. I had a courthouse for that day. 70 people that could say they never so much as heard me say boo. You know what I mean? I had nothing. The only thing I had to say to them is, who are you? When they came near me, these strangers. And when the judge said something, I asked, were you addressing me? She said, yeah. I asked, was it civil or criminal? She couldn't answer it. She turned around and, you know what she said to me? I'm the only one that can ask questions in here. I said, well, I object. Is that civil or criminal? And she threatened me with 1 week. I says, I object. Is that civil or criminal? Take him downstairs. No. I was standing there, half naked, pair of jeans on. If it was a woman, it'd be all over the papers. It would have been called rape, abuse, and everything else. Yeah. I was bruised and everything else, standing there. Not my fault, not due to me, that damn things happened. I didn't shout or scream about the condition I was in or nothing. All I wanted to know about there and then. Brought downstairs, brought up again, happened 2 or 3 times. She threatened me with contempt of court, to jail. And all I want to know, is that civil or criminal? In the end, she gave me from 1 week to 2 weeks, I says, I object. I don't accept, is it civil or criminal? Got me 2 weeks. I was out there in 3 days later on what's known as a habeas corpus. I think that's the right way of pronouncing it, habeas corpus.
That's the one.
It can be used over there in England and everything else. I think it's also known as a King's Writ. Myself and Ray got that done. I was out in 3 days, yeah?
So what exactly happened there? Where were you whilst that was going on and how?
I was in prison. They sent me to prison and they couldn't find me for 3 days because I never contract with my name or nothing. I never contracted and I never signed in. All right, a lot of big hotels made up.
Mm.
You see,
took them a while to find you then.
Well, it took them a couple of days. The magic tree. So look, at the point of it all is, here's the very important point here is, I was put in on a civil matter. I knew that, you see. When I was found after a couple of days, they were bringing me to the High Courts in Dublin. Now, at this stage, Ray did have to get someone within their system, a solicitor, to do the habeas corpus for us, because me and Ray was only starting off. Ray was only learning behind me at this stage a year or so ago. I'm delightedly clocked on to what I was actually doing at the time, where nobody else was actually clocking on in the court what I was doing, but Ray clocked on. But so he got a solicitor to do a habeas corpus. Now, anybody can do it. We've learned from that, but a solicitor has to do it for you when you give it to him as well.
It is being successfully done by litigants in person or whatever we might call them, normal men and women, isn't it?
Well, there's four cases I know of offhand here, and that's why me and Ray done it last year. But the important part here is when they brought me back up to the High Courts, is where they were bringing me for the habeas corpus. The solicitor, when I met the solicitor standing in the big circle in the High Courts, in the big Freemason circle, and he came over to me and he says, "Can I ask you something?" I goes, "Yeah." He says, "What did you ask the judge?" I said, "I asked her, was it civil or criminal, and she hasn't answered me yet." He goes, "What would you have answered her?" I said, "It depends on her reply." He goes, "What if she had said it was civil? I would have asked her had I got a contract with her." And he looked at me and he says to me, just what you were saying about the courts, why, he said to me, it's causing an awful lot of controversy in the courts. Yeah. That's civil and criminal joke.
Okay.
So I knew from there, and I've stuck to it within it for the last year or so and explained it as strongly as I can to people and stuff like that. As I said, I ran into the lion's den. I've been in, they try to punish me or try to get me to accept that I was in contempt of court. They try to use fear by putting me into 2 weeks in jail. I was out three days, I was out in four days later. It didn't even go back into the High Courts. They released me, and admitted full liability. And that's the state themselves.
Right. Yeah.
So that was last year. It was successful. Now, the point here again, yeah, I was in for a civil matter. Again, we go back to the civil matter. If I'm sitting on an army tank, and as I explained earlier on, that would be a civil matter as well, you see, because there's no man or woman to make a claim if I was sitting on an army tank with guns and bloody drugs and everything else. Unless there's a man or woman, it's still a civil matter. Right, I got done with a civil matter. So drugs, drink, driving, taxes, fines, summons, unless you've done that into a man and woman, they're all civil matters. Most jails are full of man and woman in there for civil matters, are they not?
Yes, they are, exactly right.
Right. Why don't they do a bloody habeas corpus? Why doesn't their loved ones stick in a bloody habeas corpus and all they have to do is ask, is it a civil or criminal matter? See? And is it a civil or criminal matter? And can you document and verify a lawful warrant?
And that's it.
It's fair, yeah. That's all we done. And it has been used then. Ben Gilroy used it on two other lads on, they were done in contempt of court over here. They'd be activists, they'd be in the courts and that, fairly well active and all that. And I was reading one of my brothers found in the newspaper a couple of weeks ago. And I was like a young child when he said it to me, looking for the newspaper with a present. He says, "Paul, I've seen something in the paper about a big gangster in Dublin and the habeas corpus." I says, "Jesus, quick, get me that." So I was reading the story. I actually have it there somewhere, the newspaper clipping. But so-called one of these big gangsters, or he's connected to cartels and all that. He was wanted on a foot warrant. You know, he's been in and out of the country. So they seen him there about a month or two ago. Picked him up on a foot warrant for, he had an outstanding 3 months prison for insurance. So insurance is a civil matter. and he's being
sick. You can call it civil if you want to, mate. I've got other words for the people that are doing
it. Well, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm just going to run with the civil, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
it's cool.
It's really a civil matter that there, yeah, right? Yeah. And the fact that that you got 3 months jail, yeah?
Yeah.
So if you think of that, right, you got 3 months jail and it's a civil matter. I got 2 weeks jail and it was a civil matter. A man in jail for 10 years for drugs is a civil matter and 10 years jail. There's only a time difference. It's still civil matters. There's only a time difference, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, why are they in jail? Why aren't people getting them out?
And, you know, say somebody's been in there for 5 years or so and you realise that a habeas corpus could work. Would it still work after 5 years of a 10-year
stretch? Absolutely, because all you're doing, absolutely, it still works in the city. It doesn't matter in there.
So
your man
exactly?
was released within 48 hours. His solicitor got him out and he done it. And what they asked was, is detention legal? Is what they used. They didn't even ask lawful. Was his detention legal? And he was out in 48 hours.
So it's down to the same thing as we keep hearing, that basically...
The difference is, he's a big bloody gangster. They're probably a 20 or 30 grand to fucking spare. Excuse the language.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And he didn't understand the deception when he switched it into legal. Now, we do the forms ourselves. It ain't costing us 20 and 30 grand. It's costing us bloody 80 euro to stick it into the bloody court.
And do you know what this makes me think? I keep realising, you know, as time goes by, you realise that you're seeing the same patterns in all of these things that you investigate. And one of the things that I've kind of come to realise is that, as Simon Spaniard says, the bit of democratic government that's missing is the bit that actually holds it in check, which is us, in theory. We're not holding it to account. And effectively, what we're saying is that, I mean, God, man, it must be, what, 85, 90% of the prison population is only there because nobody knows that they can go down there and get them out. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
So why isn't it? It's all part of the deception. Legalese is a money-making racket, so it is. Whether it's before you get to the courts, in the courts, and when one gets sent to jail, so the jails are all privatised as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're filling them up for the legalese and all that. Legalese is law, yeah?
Yeah.
It is law. It's a legalese law. But it's still a law that needs your consent to accept that what you're doing is wrong.
Well, that's absolutely true. But if you behave as if it's true, then it might as well be, mightn't it?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, Cotty, shall we have a bit of music? We've had a good hour's chat there.
Jesus, you can't half talk.
No, it was really, I really like the anecdotes and stuff. And I still find myself, just really quite shocked by the idea that with no warning at all, you can end up with a house full of men with guns, you know.
There's another thing, I think I read it out here. I was chatting to you the other morning and I read it out something from an Irish law book. There's a thing, as I say there, with the civil matter, and the criminal matter, no man should be in jail, no man or woman should be in jail for a civil matter. But when they convert us into this bloody accepting the contract, accepting the name, you're a corporated business, then it's different, and all that kind of stuff.
So can we talk about that perhaps after
that? So, go on, let's stick the kettle on.
Because I know it's something that we talk about a lot, the conversion thing, and it'd be really grand to get in amongst the nuts and bolts of it a bit.
Absolutely. That's...
So that's really great. You're all listening to Dr. Rock's radio show on autonomousmedia.net, and I'm talking to Paul Cotty about contracts, which 2 years ago wouldn't have really cared at all. Nowadays, one of the main subjects of interest, it has to be said, and coming up now... a man who knows quite a lot about prisons, it's Johnny Cash and 16 Tons. Sing along, guys.
Some people say a man is made out of mud.
That was Little Rumba there and Food of Love. And before that, Johnny Cash and 16 Tons. And you're back live with autonomousmedia.net, where Dr. Rock, who's me, apparently, is chatting with Paul Cotty. Welcome back, Paul. Oh, hang on a moment. I've forgotten the green button again. Here you go. Welcome back, Paul. There you go. I'll hear you now.
Yeah, things again.
So we were talking just before the break about how it is that a whole load of people have ended up in prison for no good reason, that people who know them could fairly easily get them out of there. How on earth it's all down to this conversion thing, isn't it? How are they getting us involved in this scam?
You're bang on there. Converted. Everything is converted. Just like I was saying, warrants, whether it be a search warrant, a warrant for imprisoning someone, court orders of any shape or form, they don't have the original embossed logo that I should have. They've got cheap photocopies that people's accepting for years because they've never seen the real one. They're sending us to court for civil matters because they convert them into criminal acts and legislations. And again, we never knew the half of this before to question it. I was going to bring it into, that's before the break, I was going to say, like, there was a thing I came across, and it was bang on for converting. It was got to do with contract law. Now, this is one of the an Irish contract law, one of their own law books. I wouldn't be a strong reader. Anybody that knows me, I wouldn't be the strongest of words or readers, even when I come on and talk on radio and stuff like that. But I find very simplicity within my own books and stuff like that. And stuff that I've learned along the way when I pick up the books now, I can spot where it comes into play.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you an example of one, and I was mentioning the other day, and I'm sure some of your listeners heard this one. When you go into court, or even with a guard, and it's civil matters, when somebody in court especially, and if you ask, is it civil or criminal, and they say it's civil, or if you know you're in there on a civil matter or some contract or something, once it says, they say civil matter, the first thing, now this is in their own books, it goes, for if one company is bringing another company in, the defendant must limit his liabilities at the beginning, or if not, he's open to full liability. Now, that fitted into a little saying I heard a long, long time ago. When you're in court and they say it's civil matter, you turn around, I accept no fines, fees, points, or jail time. I'll offer my hand as remedy, condolence, or whatever it is.
I'll offer my hand. I've never heard that bit of it.
Yep.
That's cracking, that.
You see, and you've limited your liabilities.
And you now, say where, that's right at the very beginning of everything.
That's it. That's in their own book and all. Now, I heard that a long time ago, and reading that I've been doing the last couple of months in books and spotting into little simple books that have been buying at a second-hand shop, €2 or €3, that I come across some of their own little law books and some lovely little gems in it. And
the thing is, don't you find that almost anybody who's writing a law book, they write really elegantly. I really enjoy reading them.
Yeah, well, you see, in this, it was hard to be. It said something about converting to principle as well. You see, and I thought, isn't that sweet how they convert us to being to bring us in on a legal, on legislation, on legalese, on civil matters. That's where they look for our name, the corporated name. You see, because we're the business.
Yeah.
So when you're standing in there in front of them, they see the business. So what does the business do? You limit your liabilities. Now, at the same time is, you can go, you can limit your liabilities and all that, but at the same time is, when you're acting civil or criminal, you cannot go to jail for civil matters. Look it up in their own books. Man and woman cannot go to jail for civil matters. So they convert man and woman into the name, the entity, the titles, and they convert these civil matters into legislations, acts, criminal act, this act, you know what I mean?
So they're converting civil into criminal acts. And
yeah.
I think you just said that a bit earlier, and I think that's the clearest explanation of what's going on there that I've heard. That one is really clear. But in order to do that, they're converting the principle, which is me and you.
Yeah.
They're converting us into what? Into a person.
into the person, the title, man and woman, anything with a title, and with a corporated, it's all corporated titles.
And do we have to accept that?
Absolutely no. We don't have to accept anything. They look for our consent and everything. We just have to get an understanding of all contracts that's being offered to us, because everything is an offer of a contract. And when we then hear to what the contract is, then we start having fun.
Right.
You see, it's not all doom and gloom, all this bullshit that they push upon us. Because once you start learning about it, then you know you have a choice. And even in the learning process, you can have fun. Just when I bounced up to the Garda station that day, I had fun. Bit dangerous, but at the time I thought it was hilarious.
Well, here's the thing, isn't it? That actually, when we all first discover this stuff, it really does look very, very complicated indeed. However, if it turns out to be all a matter of contract, contract law is A, pretty strict, B, pretty clear, C, pretty easy to understand. So it's actually, I've found it a very exciting revelation. And it, indeed, it is it's a great part of the game to be playing. It's the only part of the game to be playing, is it not?
Yeah, well, when you look at the contract law, what they're on about is corporated business, and that's what they're dealing with you. It's a corporated business. Anybody just starts looking into the legalese and legislations and all that. So if you go in there and start, say for instance, if I, let me see, cannabis. If I was to go into court, or they did manage to get me that far in court, I'd ask as a civil or criminal. They say it's civil, well, have I got a contract with you? If they say it's criminal, present the injured man or woman to make amends. Then what the fuck, they have to answer that. I'd not budge off that.
And effectively, the method I was talking about a couple of weeks back with Roger, so that you can try and deal with it before you go anywhere near the court, is the same thing, isn't it? A notice of discovery of a contract
Absolutely.
Of association requires them to show you it if they've got one, and if they haven't.
Well, you see, there what you said there, a notice is what you said, right?
Yeah.
And you're nearly requiring it within their own system, yeah?
Right. Well, right. The thing is, the notice
here's,
actually...
Here's another one. Here's the other one that I'd say to that.
Yeah.
If you've got it, like, again, I give a just a scenario of being in there. Again, we deal with things beforehand.
Yeah.
First point, four, always deal the first point is when they approach it anyway. Right, the next stage, as you said there, you'd put them on notice and you'd write a notice. And absolutely yeah. Brilliant. Always use put them on notice is brilliant. A 64-year-old man over here, gentleman, this can be proven. It's fact. He gives the paperwork so he will to back all this up. Now, again, it's a very simple case, simple matter, but it's, the point is within what was done, because it's civil, everything's civil. He was being summoned, he got a summons for court, for a TV license. He wrote three letters, and he done it by email. Now, I personally do a pen and paper, and I always write in lower cases. But anyway, he done it with the internet, you know, the email and stuff there. He wrote one to the TV inspectors, one to the courts, and one to himself. You wouldn't open that one, you see, that's proof of everything. And the simple thing he asked was, now you see, again, contracting, recognised the contract and stuff. He went, thank you for your offer of a cohesive contract, one-sided contract. As I am not accepting any contracts at the moment, any more letters will be deemed as harassment. Simple. You see, he didn't question anything about the racks, the statues and what you were doing, did he?
Nope. No, well, under those circumstances, you're not obliged to. Under some, you might be. So this is a slightly different context, but no, quite right. That's basically a return to sender, but quite a flash one, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Right. No, but you see, he didn't refuse.
Yeah.
Right. Do you see? And... he also thanked them, you see, most importantly, thanks for your offer and consideration. Thanks for you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, he went to court, he was in court early that morning, he sat there throughout the whole day. Every day the court was over, when the last person was gone, the judge was still up there, and he went up and he asked about his case. They told him it was called out earlier. He made it quite clear that he was there early, all day, waiting. And it wasn't called out. And he went, well, it was called out a half hour earlier. We started a half hour earlier. And your case was called out then. And it's your lucky day. And he was waiting to get a fine. And he went, it was dismissed.
Mm. So once again, a bit like getting the people out of the prisons, now, really. It's a matter of sending a letter.
You see, absolutely. Beforehand, because he knew it was a contract, and he thanked him for the offer and so forth, and told him any more letters would be deemed as harassment and stuff. He understood that was a contract, an offer, a civil matter. You know, and we don't refuse. It's great. You know, it's a bit like that's one type of a contract that was the cohesive, one-sided contracts. You know, and we get an awful lot of these one-sided contracts. Somebody's
asked in the chat box whether one-sided is adhesive, is it not?
Adhesive.
Yeah.
Sorry for my pronunciation. It comes a bit like me spelling. Again, I'll apologise for that.
No, thanks for that. That's what the chat box is there for. It shows they're paying attention. Hi, guys. Really good to see you.
I want to say thanks. Oh, sorry, I can't see into the chat there on me, so...
No, Paul Cotty has tried to get into the chat box, but has had one or two challenges with it. I think some people, it's because it's the kind of first night of it really flying. I think there's a few technical glitches, but I'm sure you'll be in next time.
And Camille, just something important here, and I want to point out, and I do point it out a lot of times when I am chatting on radios and stuff. Just like it was pointed out there, you see my pronunciations... And my spelling wouldn't be the grey. And when I started all off this, I was at a school at 14 years of age, wouldn't have a clue about legalese and all this malarkey sort of stuff. Wouldn't, do you know what I mean? But yeah. I didn't let the fear. You see, I got over the fear of things. And that's what's important with a lot of us. I don't care about my spelling. I'm starting to learn how to read better than whereas before I wouldn't have an understanding of words. My reading has got better with this. I do come on, I use words that I do have an understanding of, and I'll try and only use words that I have an understanding of. Sometimes I do mispronounce words. If somebody points it out to me, I'm thankful, you see, because that's how I learn.
Well, it's also a case, isn't it, that we have one of the lessons that all of us have most definitely learned over these years is that the words and the correct use of them, that's where the game is.
Absolutely, and I try and bring it back to the simplicity of words, and more importantly, the origins of a word, the origins and existence of a word, because most words have too many definitions, and that's what legalese, deception, bullshit are all about.
What do you use to find the origins of words?
Sometimes I look into that, the etymology of a word. Is that the right pronouncing?
That's the one.
Etymology.
Etymology is the one, as opposed to entomology, which is the study of bugs.
You see, there you go. I'll tell him.
English is a bitch, man.
Well, you see, the simple part I came across with that a long time ago when I came across the word nice. And then I went into the etymology of that. I went, good Jesus. It doesn't mean you're a good chap and this, that, or the other. Nice. Stupid, clumsy, awkward, dopey, foolish.
Yeah.
That's what nice is.
Yes. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? The shifting words, just like in Orwell's 1984, that's how they do it all. They're constantly changing the news from yesterday and changing the meaning of words and stuff, and turns out to be, you know, exactly bang on.
Go on, sorry.
One of the things I'd like to try and touch on, if we can, it's something we touched on when we were talking a couple of days ago, is this idea of opt-out contracts.
I was just about to go into that there now.
Brilliant. The reason...
we're bang on tonight, so we are. I was actually just going to say that, you know, so it was about the opt-out contract. It's a very good one as well. Came across one day, myself and Ray's been looking at her, and geez, we think it's actually great and you can have fun with it. Now, I'm saying that's serious. An opt-out contract is smart meters and vaccinations cannot be insured. You see, the companies that are pushing these upon us cannot get them insured whatsoever. No company will insure them because they understand the dangers in them. So what they use is an opt-out contract as well. If we don't take these things, we're in a presumed contract and we have to bloody pay to get out of it.
Yeah,
you know, so either way, it's win for them. You know, we paid to get out a contract that went out in the first place. But when we accept the vaccinations, this is the most important thing. When we accept vaccinations and smart meters, anyone that's learned about them so far knows the dangers of these. The smart meters has radiation. They've been known to, like, apart from leaking radiation, buildings have gone on fire, so they have, which causes loss of life. Dwelling, all your private belongings gone over a smart meter.
And you they basically extend the surveillance state in detail into your house, into your dwelling.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that'd be their loss. They'd be cracking up over that, so they would. Yeah. that he lost all that. But on the private matter of what you've lost, but the thing is, you can't claim for that if the meter has done that because you've accepted it. You've accepted liability. And that's the same with the vaccinations. You accept liability with these. And that's what an opt-out contract is when the consumers, which is us, we accept liability. So again, we don't refuse and all this kind of stuff. And when you there's an awful lot of young children going into the schools. Unless they've got their vaccinations, they can't come into the schools. Unless they've got their vaccinations, the doctors won't see them. Unless they're up with the vaccinations, you won't be able to get medical or get the social welfare out for them soon. And even after you got them the vaccinations, and if you haven't got them, you're a bad parent and you're a threat to your child. So that's where vaccinations are going that we know of. Right. They offer you a vaccination or smart meters. They've offered the opt-out contract. You simply write back to them and you say, thank you for your offer of contract. Thanks for your offer of an opt-out contract. Point it out to them. Thanks for your offer of contract. Before I consider this contract, can you document and verify the effects from these products? And can you document and verify the insurance for me, my private family, and my private dwelling?
I'm just taking a note of that. That's why I didn't come in on that. That's that's an extremely useful thing to be...
So, if you send that off to them, you haven't refused. Like we all know, you know, like with contracts, is they offer, you offer, all contracts are negotiable. You haven't refused. So even with the governments and the school pushing this, you've brought it back to them, so you have.
Which is a really canny way of approaching it. Have you got tales of people who've done this and in what kind of circumstance?
No, unfortunately I haven't as of yet, because again it's just recently this has come about, myself and Ray's been looking at and looking at angles for using it and stuff like that as well. So and I like to see, I can see where it fits in nicely. I can understand that very simple.
And probably applicable in all sorts of places, I would have thought.
Absolutely, especially when it is dangerous. I think when you were mentioning it the other morning, you were saying about the mobile phones, so one must look at that way.
Yeah.
That's the way, if you think about it, when you get mobile phones, they're always asking you to want it insured. You're taking out your own insurance.
Yes.
You know, and furthermore, when you go in and buy the mobile phones, you see you're accepting all the liabilities that's coming with it. Now, so you have the option there, you see, that's the important part. But with the vaccinations and the smart meters, we all know the hassle that comes with that, the harassment is more like it, that they cause, because it is them causing this harassment through fear and stuff, whether it's the guards, the doctors and the schools, try to employ these vaccinations and these meters upon us. You know, with the phones, we have a choice not to get the bloody phone. These other things are being pushed upon us.
Yeah, it's that is an argument which is, I think, sadly being missed. It's synchronistic that you brought up the smart meters, really, because I was at I went out where we're currently engaging in infiltration of our local community and stuff, places where we've been living for 20 years. We're starting to go to meetings and meet people and things like that. And I went to a transition town meeting, which was actually about the use of land. But at the end of it, a company called Lightfoot were given a thoroughly approving introduction, because they're going to be turning up on market day in Landod, in the local town, to talk about the rollout of smart meters. And I'm not joking, Paul, I'm not joking. When this was introduced, there was this kind of murmur of approbation that went round the 40 or 50 people, you know, approval that went round the 40 or 50 people in the room. And it was just like Hot Fuzz. It was almost like these people were going for the greater good. And I'm thinking, wow. And when I actually, I sent some links about the smart meters, about the surveillance, you know, just real, real little, detailed ones. And as a result, got an email correspondence back that had gone on a bit before the meeting, pointing out that somebody else had already done that, had already sent in a load of links saying, look, you know, are you sure that we should be making this so friendly and that we shouldn't, you know, at least be highlighting a little bit that there's some doubt as to these instruments. And I was really shocked. I was shocked by the fact that it was even introduced without any kind of health warning or surveillance warning at all. But it was the response in the room that really shocked me.
The responses don't shock me in any shape or form these days.
Mm. I guess it's why I really need to be going to these public meetings and stuff, because it really is bringing home to me just how... It's not just that the ideas that we talk about on these radio stations and all of that are not getting through in any sense. It's the severity of the and depth of the conditioning and the beliefs and the ideas and that I find really shocking. So yeah, it's got to be a good thing that I'm doing it, I reckon.
Look, I'll tell you one thing, lads, and this is straight from my experience over the last while and all that, in my own stuff I do on shows and stuff. Sometimes you mightn't get a response or a like to some of the stuff we do, and any of us out there that's given the information through shows. But believe me, there's enough people listening and learning from us. And every day, even if it's just one. I live outside of town there that I grew up. And there's quite a few youngsters in around the estate where I used to be from that listening to what wherever I'd be on doing and stuff like that, and they listen to what I have to say. And that's even got to do with whether we're civil or criminal, and got to do with vaccinations and even down to their health now. So, you know, if we can get through to one person a week learning, every one of us, we're doing brilliant. We might never hear replies to yourself there, you bought a podcast and all that kind of stuff. You mightn't get people pressing like, sharing and all this kind of stuff, but you don't realise who it's getting to every time. You know, so
that's true.
Just want to say fair play to every host on the shows that come on and push out stuff, you know, to it's the only way we can do it, to do what we can as well.
It is, and a variety of voices giving similar messages do kind of add authority to it. I think another important thing to bear in mind is that the information doesn't always sink in straight away. It varies with people hugely as to how long it takes to actually assimilate a bit of information, and something you say today might not actually pay off for them for a year down the line, but then it might just pop into their head when they need it.
Absolutely. Well, you see, again... through my learning and everything else, I used to listen to a load different stuff and different shows and podcasts when I was learning. I hear a lot of intelligent people and all that. And, you know, I went to some sites and then I couldn't write in the questions I wanted because of my spelling and that. So I'd ring in and I'd ask questions. I got over the fear of that. That was great. The thing that happened to me in court, I stood up, asked the simple questions. I got over the fear. I ran into the Lions Den that time, so they don't give me the fear in that sense. They've booked guns to me that started me off, so they put me over the fear all the way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
So you kind of got the worst of it out of the way right at the very beginning?
Yeah, and that was due to them, you know, so...
Yeah.
I want to thank them lads, them strangers dressed in black that came in that day and started this journey off for me. So cheers, lads.
That's great.
I've met lots of good mates along the way, like yourself and lots of the lads in there in chat. So, do you know what I mean? Behind every wet cloud, there's that happy sunny day. And I've always done that in my life, with something doom and gloom. I always look for a positive. And by God, I found one positive 2.5 years ago was when I started getting into this. One of the most important things I was going to say there when I started listening to all these... other hosts and podcasts and all that. I heard an awful lot of legalese stuff and my head was melting trying to get around the half of it. What I try to do these days, I sit back and I try and get to the bloodiest, simplest understanding. I break it down to the simplest understanding I have that makes pure logic and reason, sense and everything else to me. And that's what I work on then. And then when I go to give out, try and give out anything that I've learned, I give it in my format, if you want to put it like that, in the simplicity and understanding that I have. I don't go out there, I don't try to give it out and try to be all big worded and all this kind of stuff. I don't get wrapped into that. I give you as simple as it is in my head, and as simple as understanding as I'm making of it.
And I think that's what the old law was, wasn't it? It was what was simple and reasonable was right.
Absolutely.
Which is why there's no excuse for ignorance of that particular law, because everybody should be able to sort that out. And if they can't, strictly speaking, a little bit of education should help out. But at the moment, we've somehow got into the position where none of the people that are in prison, well, most of the people that are in prison shouldn't be there. And an awful lot of the people who should actually be in prison are, by some strange quirk of fate, actually in charge.
Doc, no, as I said, saying, with civil matters and criminal matters, people go out there and just look up this civil, look for the way they convert, look into the contract laws and where they'll even say about limiting liability. And all you have to have an understanding of when you're going into the courts, you are a corporate business. Unless you know how to go in as being the man and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you can do your notices like that as well. You can do your notices which put them into their office, whatever it is, and keep you in the civil jurisdiction.
Even as a mister or a person or a citizen, you can ask, is the detention or is the imprisonment lawful? Is it civil or criminal? And can you document and verify a lawful warrant? And on that warrant, it should have crimp, the proper, wherever the king or queen or whoever used to send you away over there. You know what I mean? And it should have the two signatures of the judge below, and there should be also the guard or policeman that brings you to the prison, and even his signature, it'd be the one I have, it goes H-U-G, so wherever that's you, and then it goes B-Y, hear this one out, B-Y dot dot, by colon, Garda, it's got his number, 333, and that's it. Underneath in brackets has his name. You see, he's distanced himself from it.
Yeah, and he signed as the authorised representative of his office.
And the judge is getting appointed clerkee. That's what they're using in civil law, because they cannot, in civil law, they cannot use the official. It's because it's corporate businesses. They can't use a true government or a true king or queen, their crest seals or any of this kind of stuff on a civil matter.
It's amazing how far from the straight and narrow these people have wandered, isn't it? Just to nip back to the opt-out contract again for a minute. It was one that, again, we glanced off the other day, but I think it's a particularly interesting one, because certainly in England, I don't know what the deal is in Wales, but in England, I gather that it has been decreed that everybody's organs are up for transplant unless they register to opt out. So,
do you know what?
What for would you do with that?
For you saying that, it reminds me of something I feck I meant to do a long time ago. My bloody driver's licence. They tie it all in with the driver's licence these days.
Do they?
Mm.
So if you don't have a driver's licence that they deem to be current, you're probably not in danger of having your organs ripped out.
That's exactly it. Even with
my license, God, that's criminal.
You have to you have to tell them now that you don't wish to donate. It's not your will to donate your organs.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Presumably by way of notice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Well, I think, you know, even in the Rome system, you can do it in a form. Send it back to them and all that. But me personally, I'd rather do things on notice. Give them a duplicate so they know and I know I've got the original notice I've given them.
Yeah, and I'd have the notice.
Another good thing there I was looking at a while ago, myself and Ray was chatting one night, and Ray was saying to me, we were going to be like approaching checkpoints and stuff like that with the police and guard. Well, that's what they are. Look, we call them officers. Whether they're this side of the water or that side, when they come under the word officer, not constable or on Shea Corner.
Yeah.
When the officers are there with their barricades and so forth, ask him who they are. If he says police or this side, contract them. Or even if you want to assume that he's a policeman or anything, you can do that. And ask him, is it a civil or criminal matter? If he says civil, well, thanks for the offer of contract. Before I consider the contract, I'll charge €100 or £100 an hour. How would you like to pay?
Yeah.
I haven't refused.
You're dealing with the man in front of you again, like you were, like you would have been, you know, with the men coming through the door. You're dealing with one man.
Yeah, because I've recognised that he's making me an offer of a contract. I can recognise he's giving me an offer of a contract, and I'm letting him know, right, you've offered me a contract, and before I consider it, just to let you know, I charge €100 an hour. Sure, he gets paid for being there.
Could you usefully ask him if he's accepting liability in his private capacity for the offers he's making here today?
Oh, well, you could do. Don't ask that till you get £100. Like, if you go to court and you said nothing after that, if you kept asking that question and you went to court, sure, wouldn't it be looking to the judge, and the judge says, and what was his reply? He told me he's charging £100, thanks for the offer of contract, and he was charging me £100. And what was your reply to that?
That's another sound approach. And the thing is, these are friendly as well, aren't they? They're in no way obstructive, and they're going to help. And for that reason, they're going to help keep your own pulse rate down and all that kind of stuff, which is...
Yeah, I think that...
It's part of overcoming the fear, isn't it?
I agree there. It's a thing I was only chatting to Ray and someone else today about that. I said, look, even with myself, it's only when these scenarios happen and we're in the situation, because of fear was always put into us, our adrenaline or our body gives a reaction that we're not used to, because we've always seen them as authority figures and this, that and the other. But once you start doing it once or twice and get confidence in yourself, your body calms down, your system will relax. Your system will register with your brain that you know what you're doing is right. You get over the fear part and all that. Yeah, and that's true. Like a lot of people, it can be nerve wracking at force and stuff like that. But look, it's nerve wracking when they stop you. It's nerve-wracking when you do all this in the first place. So just learn how to slow yourself down with the wording you say and keep it as simple as art nails. When you learn along the way and start learning other ways of dealing with the contract, you could have a bit of fun, but, you know, never go poking them in the face. Just deal with your own private matters there and then. Look, all they're doing most of the time is offering a contract. And no thanks, but no thanks often helps. Only but in certain ways, you know what I mean? Thanks, but no thanks. If it was you and me that was offering each other, we could say to each other, thanks, but no thanks. There's no hardship around there. Nobody getting upset. It's just that they're on a system where they have to push these contracts and all this kind of stuff. So don't take it out on him as such. Deal with the contract matter. And maybe things might be a bit easier between you and the man in the suit in front of you.
And it does make a difference, doesn't it? It's not like you have to keep on doing it, because eventually they learn to leave you alone.
Well, look, I try and employ it into everything. A couple of weeks ago, myself and Ray was here in my place. And I live in the countryside. You have to come through big side gates there. I have a sign up on it, no employed right of access here. I have a small front gate that I keep a lock on it, so they can't come into my front door. So everybody who's, any of my mates use the... So big gates at the side and that. So myself, Ray's there. It was Sunday afternoon. Ray's printing out paperwork for his own court stuff. And next I heard one of those official knocks, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was in the kitchen and I've a glass door panel, I could see out type things. So, you know, like there was contracted on seeing each other, should I say. It's not as if I could just ignore him. Well, I could have ignored him, but it was a man in a suit, grey-haired. That's all I see in the back of the hair. So I looked at him, went to my door, and I could see someone else standing over from another man in just ordinary clothes. So when I noticed he recognised me, I just looked, and my brain thought, I didn't even think, actually. It was just a reaction I went into. I opened the door, I looked left, I looked right, I looked at the dogs, my two dogs were in their kennel barking. I turned around and was shutting the door, and I came in and was saying to Ray, it's just the dogs barking. So I didn't give them the recognition of that.
I once heard it said that the way to treat these people is like an unknown cat would treat you if you called its name on the street. So you go kind of like, here, kitty, 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 and it just carries on.
He taught you, because I seen him and he seen me, right, that was it. And when I opened the door, he taught. So I just went, so I was turning around and shutting the door, and there was a phone there. So I opened the door, and I stepped out towards him so I can bring the door behind him. I went, "Who are you?" No, I knew his face and all that. I knew his face, doesn't mean I knew the face to see, doesn't mean I know the man or know anything. I went, "Who are you?" He went, "I'm Garda so-and-so." So he said who he was, Garda so-and-so, happy days to me. I went, "All right." And he went to say something to me, and I went, "All right, I accept and acknowledge you're out of office, and I hold you to that office now. Is this civil or criminal?" And he looked at me, so he did, so shocked. Now, this is a detective. I'm going to say that straight here. He was here on, I know roughly what he was here. He was here on an inquest. My brother was killed 10 years ago, and they're only coming up with an inquest now, 10 years later.
What?
So, I know, so I looked at him, I said, now this is like, my brother was killed 10 years ago, so that's a mortal, you know, and he's coming up with an inquest now.
Can you just hold that thought one moment? I've got to do a presenter's interjection, because apparently there's lots of people stuck in the lobby of the of the chat room, and Tony's just asking me to suggest to them that if they click the AM chat room tab at the top, then they can enter the chat with everybody else, and they can come in, and we can see who they all are. So sorry to interrupt you; it's very rude of me. Do carry on.
No bothers. So I asked him who he was. That's what it was. He said, "Detective Garda so and so," and I accepted that he was acting at the office. I asked him, "Was a civil or criminal?" And he turned around and he goes to me, "Oh, civil." I went to tell me what I was perceived about an inquest. And I went, "Civil." I says, "Can you document and verify the actual contract I have with you?" And he looked at me. He didn't know what was going on. And he went to continue again about what he was trying to say to me. And I says, "Well, clearly you can't be a guard. You clearly can't be a guard here on civil matters. Did you not see the sign of my gate out there?" I says, "If you don't remove yourself quick," I says, "I'm going to ring the guards on you." So he took out his badge. And I'm still looking at him, and he has it down below, and his hand is... So I clocked him with this calling in my eye. I wouldn't give a straight-down recognition. I looked, and I went to him again. I says, "Look, you can clearly not be here as a guard. Guards have no business in civil. Remove yourself."
Yeah.
Him and the other foot turned and gone.
That's great, Cotty. That's another real good
one. The next day we're in suits. The next time they approach me, won't they know I'm going to ask them? Won't they approach me different?
Yes.
I don't care what they're... If they're here to tell me, I don't care what they're here to tell me. I don't care if I know their face. I'm asking you who you are.
Yeah.
Very important, so it is every time. Get used to it.
Well, we had a lady, Sandra Fecht, on a few weeks back, and one of the things I remember her saying in an interview was that the quality of your life will depend on the quality of the questions you ask. And you don't have to have very many of them, and they don't have to be complicated, do they? And who are you? Who's asking? And are you addressing me? Are two great ways to start.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, because are you addressing me when they call your name or anything like that, and you do fall for the trick of looking at them and say, "Oh, you're addressing me." In other words, are you giving me that title?
Yeah.
They go, "Yeah, right, is a civil or criminal?" Never, ever, ever move off the first question. Sticking it all day long, sorry to say, yes, they might push some of us as far as jail if you're in court or this, that, or the other. As long as you know how to carry it up, habeas corpus, look it up, Kingsray. You don't have to go in there and under this act, that act, legalese. Honest on them. All you have to do is be honestful and truthful, and all you're doing is asking them the other side then to be honestful and truthful. In other words, show me a lawful piece of paperwork for having him in there. Oh, man, woman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking a bit earlier on about unsigned warrants. It's occurred to me, watching what's going on with people, that all sorts of demands are being made of them by... Actually, they're always down as requests rather than requirements, but it's clear what happens if you don't comply. And they're coming from county councils, they're coming from insurance companies, and they're all unsigned. All of these bits of paper strike me as being just about as real as the warrants you were talking about. But of course, unlike the warrants, everybody's getting these more or less every day of the week. How do you think we can reasonably approach people who are not willing to sign the paperwork they're bloody sending us?
If, look, they can't, even from the councils and all that, because they're a corporated business, corporated businesses are all operating under legislation. Legislation, they cannot have lawful. So that's why you're not going to have them, whether it's coming from corporations, guards or whatever. Permission can't be given to legislation, you know, from what we perceive to be authority of years ago, as in kings, queens, lawful governments and that. You know, they acting lawful, done things right, had their good big steel seal or whatever, they crimped the paper with a big lump of raw iron and, or a big lump of wax and stuck the old big ring into it, you know. Do you know what I mean? Even the blind man would feel the wax and the ring. So it's just recognise the contract and all you're doing is reply back to them, thanks for the office.
Yes. Yeah. It's a general kind of what they, in the old medical dictionaries, they'd have called a panacea, a cure-all.
Look, I'll give it for instance here. Right. If, say, contract, somebody offers me a contract, I write back to them, we'll use the opt-out contract. Can you document and verify the effects and the insurance and stuff like that? Now, if they manage to get me into court, if I accepted the invitation and went up there, I probably would for the experience anyway. I would. I wouldn't lie. I tell you straight, I would. I would go up for the experience and learn it again. Now, I say that I'd learn how to deal with things beforehand, but I like to go in after and learn each way. And then I can come on and talk what I learn. Anyway, if I went in there, the only reason I'd be in there that day is very simple. To see if they have the answers to what I asked them. So when the judge called out the alleged name, person, I will be Mr. Whoever he wants. It doesn't bother me. You can play that way. And he'll call out the other side. And the only, I'll just go, I'm only here today to see if there's answers to this. You know, a piece of paper that I've already asked them, can they document and verify? And they're going to get up and say, we contact Mr. Coddington, he has this, and they get up and talk all that bullshit, the legalese, the bullshit lies, and all that kind of stuff. And they probably go, well, Mr. Coddington, this, that, and the other, and I just go, well, I'm still here for the answers.
Just staying on the point, isn't it?
Yeah, because they haven't answered me in the letter, and the only reason why I'd be going to court is for the answers. I don't know why they're going. I don't give a shite where they're going.
I'll tell you what I really like about that one is that it sidesteps the name game, which has been such a major subject of conversation for so long and is a difficult game for some people to play because, of course, it's their game you're playing. So being able to avoid a potential complexity there strikes me as another real bonus for taking this one on to think about.
Now, I know a lot of people even say, that wouldn't work. That's, you know, because it sounds simple. I'm only here for that, isn't it? I'm only here to see if I got the answers to the questions I asked. People say, nah, you couldn't. People love to go in and ask, oh, show me the contract and this, that, and the other. There was a case where it was effective. I think his name was it John Halford or Harris?
Yes, John Halford, the guy with the van.
Absolutely, yeah. Down there in England, over there somewhere.
I think it was Halford, but I wouldn't.
Absolutely. So there is a documented, verified, case out there, if you want to put it like that, of this walking. I have that much confidence in it. I'm in the middle of something at the moment, and that's what I'm using. I could have went to solicitors, I could have went to small claims courts and everything else, and I says, nope. I'm going to go do this myself and I'm going to do the most goddamn simplest thing that could be done. And I'm in court soon about it and I'll keep an update on it and all that kind of stuff, you know. Yeah. If it goes against me, I'll learn about it or I'll appeal it and I'll go in again.
Well, you're definitely always welcome on here. Like I say, I find chatting with you always completely fascinating and another hour has shot by us. End up here. So I always like to leave. I kind of quite like the 2-hour chat rather than the 3-hour one because that way we can leave them wanting more, which is what's recommended. But before we let you go, do you want to say something about your very promising looking new project, the coup d'etat media?
Coup d'etat media, yeah. Myself, some of the lads there, and old Martin and Ray, Again, we just decided to do our own little thing, and we're giving it a shot. We set up a site there, www.cooditamedia.net. We're just starting it off type thing. There'll be podcasts. We're looking for podcasts from different shows. We don't care what the radio shows are. We're more or less into the information that they give out. If we find it suitable, we're into putting podcasts up there. On all information from all over, and we're looking for inputs from court cases of England and stuff like that. So in other words, there'll be court section, and we'll be looking for court cases, England, Ireland, America. We don't care, as long as they're informational, true to the fact, simple, that we can go out and use these things, and more so that they can be documented and verified and stuff. Information. We're no affiliation. Would that be the word? We're no affiliation to anyone as such. Yeah, we had good feedback from a few of ourselves there and all that. Rob Halford beyond in Australia was happy enough for us and all that, doing it and all that. So yeah, we're looking forward to doing it. We're actually doing a show soon here in Drogheda. We've a place booked out, and we're doing getting the truth out there, Cooditar Media. We've a speaker on the night, Walter Graham from Northern Ireland does all on the fluoride. Someone on vaccinations, Ray doing the Irish history, and I'll be getting on doing presentation on civil or criminal. Never done these things before. It's getting over the fear of standing up there and doing all that. You see, from not reading, writing, no education, I've been on the radios, I've done that, I've been in the courts, they tried to put me in jail, I've done that, I've done the parking tickets, I've rang the ministers, I've rang all that, I've done that, I've done this, I've done them all. Not that I've done them all, but I do what's set in front of me. I do it. I don't like to talk about stuff that other people do. I'd rather do what I know.
Man, you're going to be a total star. I'm telling you, you're a complete natural. And because I've been on the talk circuit now for 5 or 6 years, and I regard myself as a fairly good bluff, because I've spent a lot of my time talking to people like you, but I have seen what goes down well. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. I really think you're going to enjoy it, because it is completely different having a bunch of people sitting in front of you whose eyes you can see, and you can see their responses and stuff. And I think you're going to find it, because you've done so much work already on the radio where you can't see your audience. I think you're probably going to find it a real joy, mate. I really do. And I wish you all the best with it, and Ray, for Cooditar Media. And of course, whenever you've got anything exciting to talk about, as well as letting me know about your podcast and stuff, you're all both really welcome to come on here and chat, because, hey man, you know, I always need somebody to talk to on a Thursday.
Look, I love having this type of chat. So it's nearly a case who listen to me these days. I love keeping it simple, and I just hope some of the listeners do get a simple understanding of even what I'm trying to do or try to put out there. It can be quite easy when you do look at it through these eyes anyway.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's the real joy of the thing, is that ultimately it's probably not only this that is simple, it's probably everything else as well, ultimately, as far as solutions go.
Yeah. Look, again, everything's a contract, and you need to convert us.
Brilliant.
So, Think of it, them things, and that's the same with your civil criminal and all your loved ones. So every little last couple of while I've been saying it, if you love them, get them home for Christmas. They shouldn't be locked up.
Wicked.
So anybody listening to the podcast, the stream, in there and chat, you've got someone in there, a loved one. Look, learn a little bit of habeas corpus. Go get them out.
Yeah. And that conversion is from the civil to criminal acts, if you haven't ever managed to quite grip that before. Well, Paul, thanks ever so much for making the time and for being you and doing all the work you're doing. And, you know, more power to your elbow, mate.
Come on, pleasure. I enjoyed coming on and having a chat. And unfortunately, I didn't get in to have a bit of a chat with the lads in there and all that. But come here, look, I will get in during the week when I figure out how to get into the chat room.
Very good. Well, thanks very much for being with us. I think that once again, we spent several years there keeping these buggers out of our penalty area. I think we're now well in their midfield and bearing down on them. And keep it up. Keep us informed. Thanks very much, matey.
Absolutely. Lord, stay safe, you as well. Keep learning. And come here, keep doing what you're doing, most importantly here.
Brilliant, dude. Thanks a lot. I'm going to put on Black Sunshine by White Zombie, or it might be White Zombie by Black Sunshine. I'm not sure because I'm an old git, and I'll be back with you shortly.